So I was a bad listener for the first 10 years of my marriage, maybe 15. Been married 21 years, and I didn't get what listening was. My version of listening was to sit there quietly, and as my wife spoke to me, be thinking about what I was going to say next, be analyzing. And so that when she was done talking, I had a rebuttal or answer or solution. I was looking for the constant, you say, this, well, I have this, a match for her conversation. You know, I learned that this is how God makes us guys. He makes us to be fixers. We are analytical. We solve problems. I don't mean women don't have problem-solving skills. I just mean as a man, I believe that this is a strength that God has given us. But it is a weakness when it comes to our communication, because I thought that's how communication worked. She told me what all was wrong, and I told her what all she could do to fix it. That really didn't work when what was wrong was me. Because now immediately I have an answer for how she can better understand me, rather how I can not do or do whatever it is she has a problem with. It almost comes off like, I wasn't listening, I was just waiting on my turn to talk. I was just waiting on my turn to share my wisdom, to give my answer, and wasn't really hearing at all what she was saying to me. It wasn't that she wasn't talking, it was that I wasn't listening. I've been talking about grace and God's grace this past week. We're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we talked about how that his strength is enough for us. His grace, his power in our life. It's very adequate. It's more than adequate. It's enough. I love that in verse 9 he says unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That word sufficient means good enough for every situation. Good enough for every situation. Something that I heard Tony Evans say is that there's enough oxygen in all of time for every human to have breathed some, and still there is more. There's plenty of oxygen. People are dying, but yet there's still people living. And all the carbon dioxide we breathe out, we're still not taking up the oxygen. There's still plenty of oxygen. There's plenty of foliage for all the creatures that have ever been from the beginning of time to now, and then some. All the animals that have lived and then have died, and yet there is still adequate foliage for all of the animals that God has created. You think about the ocean. There is more than enough water in the ocean for every animal, every creature that God has ever put in the ocean. And yet think about all the creatures, and yet there's still plenty of water. There's still plenty of water. Guys, the point that he makes there is that is how God's grace is. Every situation we've ever had, every situation man has ever had or will have, and yet there is still an abundance of grace. He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient." It is good enough for every situation you have. So how do you activate that in your life? How do you get God's grace and God's power in your life? I think we find that answer in verse 8. Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And in some other versions, it said, "I pled with the Lord," or "I pleaded with the Lord three times." That besought or even plead, this isn't your regular sit down and we're in the restaurant and people know I'm a pastor or a Christian, so I better pray kind of prayer. This isn't, I'm putting my kid to bed and I want to teach them and I really want to go finish the rest of the game, so I'm going to show them what it's like to pray real quick. This implies, this besought, this pleading implies a prayer like Hannah at the gate of the temple praying, tabernacle praying for God to give her a son. Really, on our face, on our knees, crying out, a prayer. Not just once, not just twice, three times. He didn't get the answer he was looking for, but he got what God's answer for him was when he went to God with intentional purpose and pleaded with the Lord. We activate God's grace in our life. We get God's grace in our life when we cry out to Him and ask for it. How do we know when it's come on? I love this. The verse, very first sentence in verse 9. And he said unto me, we know God's grace is working in our life. We know our prayers are being heard. We know God's power is moving in our life when in the middle of whatever storm we are in, we begin to feel encouragement. Or we begin to feel God's power in our lives. We begin to feel that second wind. When I ran a 5K back this past November, my first 5K I've ever ran, I'm Lord willing, it won't be my last. I really enjoyed the process, and it was along my weight loss journey, and I was still, man, too heavy to be running a 5K, but I trained and I ran a 5K. There was a point in the middle. There's this giant hill downtown Wichita Falls that they put the track on. When I was going up that hill, my goal was to not be the best time. I didn't care about any of that. I did not want to walk in this 5K. I asked God, give me the strength. Please don't let me walk. I want to run the entire 5K so that I can give you the glory for giving me the strength to do it. And I began to walk up this. I did not walk. I have a witness. I had a lady ran with me. I ran up this hill. And as I got to the top of this hill, I did not think I could run another step. And I said, if I just run 10 more steps, we'll see where I'm at. And I ran 10 more steps. And I said, let's just run to the next block and see where I'm at. And we turned the corner at this next block. And this was in November, but it's Texas, so it wasn't freezing cold. And the wind hit me just right. And man, it made me feel so good. And all of a sudden, I got what runners experience. I'm not a runner, never been a runner. If you've seen me in person, you know for sure I've never been a runner my whole life. I've hated running until this last year. But I experienced what they call a second wind. And all of a sudden, walking wasn't even in my mind. Let's finish this thing. Let's run this thing. Let's finish this race. And guys, that is how we. I don't want to equate God's grace and His power because it is so powerful and is so much outside of my comprehending. But I want to tell you that it's that same type experience that when you don't think you can go anymore, Paul was pleading with God multiple times to remove this from his life. But he said unto me. Sometimes in our life, it's not that God's not speaking. It's not that at all. It's that we're not listening. We're not listening. We ask God to fill us, but we're already full with ourselves. We're already so full. Our schedules are packed. They can't take anything else. Our lives are so full. We can't take anything else. There's so much noise in our life that we can't even listen to what God's saying to us. listening to what God's saying to us is not just reading His Word and then going about and struggling through our problems on our own strength anyway. That's like listening to another human talk, just waiting on your turn to talk back. It's the same thing. God is speaking to us through His Word. Am I listening to what He has to say? Paul was, because he says in verse 10, Therefore, in verse 9, after he says, after God tells him, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Boy, that's going back to that tow truck, isn't it? Can't wait for my life's car to break down, because the tow truck can take me anywhere. The tow truck can pick me up and lift me and carry me where He wants me to go. Man, God is talking to us this morning. Am I listening to what He has to say?